Hi, welcome to BA Brew. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Kay.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Lisa.
Today we're going to be talking about bravery in the context of how we might be brave, what does it mean to be brave as a business analyst. And we've got some very special guests. I'm really delighted that Kay's joining us again. And for the first time, Charlie Payne is joining us, which is absolutely awesome. And as it's the end of season special, we've got four of us. Elisa's here as well. So it's kind of it's a big brew today. And we hope that you enjoy listening in and watching. So I'm going to start off with a question. And Kay, it's coming your way. What does bravery mean to you? And have you got any examples of bravery that you would like to share with us?
So I thought about this question leading up to the session, and I always thought that I was very not a brave individual at all. But then I looked it up, and bravery technically means that you feel the fear and you go ahead and do it anyway. And I feel the fear in everything I do. So maybe I am a brave individual. I thought it's really interesting to talk about like the psychology and a bit of the neuroscience behind bravery. Because bravery is often seen as a mindset or like a trait. But actually, from like a neuroscience point of view, they've found that there's distinct bravery cells in your brain, and they light up in response to what's perceived as a threat. This cluster of cells is next to the cluster of cells that kind of make you freeze when you're facing a threat. So what it means is that when you have like a situation, it could either light up the bravery cells or the cells that make you freeze and panic. And then that then stimulates the subsequent responses. But it means that we can actually train our brain cells because there's this physiological aspect to it. And we could talk about that a bit later.
Wow. Great insights. There was a second part to my question, and it was, have you got any examples of bravery that you'd like to share, either from a personal or from a BA context? Any bravery examples, Kay?
I'll start from a personal context, because I did say I'm fearful every single day. That makes it sound really bad. But what it is outside of work, I've taken up to martial arts, and I've been training for the past 2.5 years. So it's a mix of Krav Maga and kickboxing. And I'm the least athletic person you'll ever meet. So every single day when I do training, I'm absolutely petrified. it's a daily workout for me in my brain as well as physiologically to overcome that fear of going through the training. So I just thought I'd share something like personal as to why I feel the fear every single day.
It is amazing though that those everyday things you might need bravery for, and it could be that someone feels brave just getting up and getting out of the house or turning on their camera for the first time with a set of stakeholders on a video conference. That might be bravery for one person in one context. So and I'd love to talk about martial arts more with you, Kay, because last time we talked about martial arts, I think you were practicing breaking my arm and I practiced kicking you or something. But we're not going to do that today. So when we didn't, just for audience member, we didn't actually hurt each other. We were just pretending. Right.
No BAs were harmed.
No BAs were harmed in the making of this video. Absolutely. Right, Charlie, same question to you. What does bravery mean to you?
Yes, great question. For me, it is echoing what Kay said, it's you're acting out that which I think you believe you have to because you've got conviction. And part of that conviction comes, I think, from a deep value set, whatever context is. I feel I have to act even if I don't feel like I want to act because of the fear is in there, but acting is the right thing to do. Yep. And and it's scary, right? It's uncomfortable. But you kind of feel that you're kind of being true to yourself at the same time, right? Mm. It's that looking back. It's not wanting to look back and with regret saying, I wish I had done that differently. It's saying, I want to do this because it's the right thing. And and it's in spite of the fear, isn't it? That's, I think, is a really good way of putting it.
Brilliant. Now, Charlie, I know because I've talked to you about this a few times and I've seen you speak at conferences that you've been put into personally some very dangerous situations that certainly dangerous situations from my perspective. You might not have thought they were dangerous. I don't know, but are you happy to share an example of bravery from your context?
Say for those that know me, in a previous career, I was a kind of a police officer for nearly 7 years. And some of the talks I do, well, then the workshop of BA boot camp on how to build bravery, thinking through what we did in the police. Because my reflection back now is I didn't think I was that brave going into the police. And I think if I knew what policing involved before I joined, I probably wouldn't have joined. And, you know, I think in the very early days of being, you know, first going out on your first patrols, in fact, one story of, you know, we're sent with you, you have a tutor, you go out with a tutor for the first 6 months to sign you off, make sure you've got certain competencies. And we were to go to a domestic where the suspect was still on site. So we've arrived, it's late at night, and I've got to take the lead, right? The tutor's there as a backup. And we come across this big guy. He'd had a fair bit to drink, just standing outside the property. And he's clearly, you know, matched the description. And, you know, the evidence suggested the chap needed to come down to the police station and arrest him. And at this point, I'm like completely frozen. Like, what do I do? You know, I just stood there like, you know, like, all right, are you? Yeah. And I'm standing there like, my tutor's looking at me. Like, what are you going to do? Right. And at that point, my tutor just grabbed on, you're under arrest, put me in cuffs, right? And we sit and talk to you about this. He said, look, Charlie, this is not like a, you know, a chat down the pub kind of scenario, right? This gets a little bit risky. You've got to take control of the situation before it gets out of hand. So that was my kind of natural default position would have been, right? And that was a freeze moment. You know, that bits in the brain's probably kicking. It's just crossed over. The bravery didn't go in. But to go from there, and within the policing career, to end up going on to drug enforcement teams, riot training, going into very difficult, dangerous situations where there's weapons on properties and actually being really up for it, right? I would never have imagined I could have gone from that in early day one to, you know, 3 or 4 years later. And I can give you loads of examples about in the police. Would I have said, oh, we're going to be brave today when we execute? Probably not. It was more executing against the objectives we've been given to do our job, right? And we're equipped and prepared to do it. That is in the policing context. And actually, maybe in our BA context, is being equipped and prepared to execute our job because we know what the objectives are. And that gives us the kind of a fortitude to then step out and be brave. It's not like we didn't have adrenaline kicks when we went in. We were terrified, right? You don't know what's going to happen through the door, but you're competent. Most of the time, in most of the situations.
And it's that, I think it's what really struck me when I saw you speak about this, the prep that you do before a raid, be it on a house or on a property, the prep and planning and the intelligence gathering in advance. And I sense a bit of scenario analysis in terms of if this happens, this is our response. I don't know. But that, I think, is a direct correlation to a BA going into a difficult situation. We've got to prepare, is one of the lessons certainly that I took from your talk, Charlie. Right, I'm going to go to Lisa. Lisa, what does bravery mean to you? And have you got an example that you'd be happy to share with us?
I suppose there's a few really, but I do feel a bit like Barcados, like at the minute. I'm okay now, but the first few minutes of BA Brew, I'm always nervous. You can't see, but I'm always fidgeting underneath, even though I've hosted quite a few times now and I should be used to this. But some days I'm more nervous than others, and I don't know why. Some days it doesn't bother me at all. Other days, like today, I'm a bit more nervous. Maybe it's Friday afternoon, I don't know. But when you were saying that, Charlie, it was making me think of times when I've been out of my comfort zone. And one time that sticks in my mind in particular was learning to ski. I don't know if anyone skied here or snowboarded or anything like that. We've gone away to Italy for the week. Yeah, it is terrifying. Because how you described yourself earlier, Kay, about, you know, being the least athletic person, I think I'd probably be a match for that, to be honest. But we went away to Italy skiing for a week, and we did like six days of lessons. And the first 3 days, you're like on the nursery slopes, you don't move, you're frozen, you know. I had this lovely instructor called Marcus, and I remember he always kept saying to me, just relax, just go like jelly, you know. Because the minute I thought I was going to get hurt, I'd like, you know, sort of stiffen up. But actually, I remember thinking, how am I ever going to get up that mountain? I was so scared, you know. And then by the end of the week, we've been up the mountain 3 days. I came back down to the training slope to meet the rest of the groups. And we were all whizzing up and down the sort of baby slope. And it was like, oh, this is easy. What were we worried about? But I think it's you've got to step out of your comfort zone to get better. Otherwise, you're just going to end up staying on that baby slope, aren't you, really? So, I think it's just all about pushing yourself and, you know, moving that zone out, isn't it?
I really like that analogy of skiing, because you start on the baby slope, that it's not very steep, and you go up the slope like 2 meters, 5 meters, and you come down. You're going really slowly, and then slowly go up from 5 meters up to 10 meters high. There's a lot of walking up and down the slope when you're learning, because it's hard work. But then eventually you do the whole slope. It's like baby steps. Each little step, you're just pushing yourself a little bit more. But then also, in the examples that both you and Charlie shared, you've got instructors, coaches, they're helping you. And I think in your context as well, Kay, you're going into that martial arts environment, and there's an instructor, a coach in that context that's there to safeguard, make sure that it's a safe environment or as safe as possible. You're not on your own. And that network and having that support to be brave, I think it's really key. Lisa, I shared with you that just this year I managed to do my first ever black slope. It's taken me 5 years of continued practice. Each year I've been skiing and not been anywhere near getting on a black slope because I've been too scared. And I've also not been competent enough as well as a skier. But yeah, this year I managed to do a black slope. And now I've done it, when I did it, I was then like, I can do this again. Because that fear had gone down, that fight or flight, whatever's going in my brain, and I'm not going to pretend that I understand it. It's lessened. You're like, yeah, I can do this. I've got a proven experience of being able to do this. I didn't fall over and break my leg, whatever. You can overcome it, can't you? So, Lisa, let me come back to you. How do you develop bravery? We talked about baby steps. And any other kind of things in terms of how do you develop bravery as a person, as a business analyst? Any ideas?
I think for me, and this is genuinely what I was doing when I was skiing, was going down a slope thinking, don't panic, and just trying to just relax and just focus on what I was doing rather than thinking, like in my mind. Just taking it steady, following the instructor, and I've been on a black slope, but it was following an instructor, and because they were so slow and they really sort of, I can't think of the word, but they really carved out like a really slow pathway. It didn't feel scary at all following them from, you know, sort of being behind them, because I was just going in their tracks, really. So I suppose having that instructor really, really helped. If I went up on my own, I'd be petrified because I wouldn't be able to read the mountain as well as the instructor, for example. So I suppose trying not to panic, keeping your sort of emotions in check helps. And I think you've just got to try these things. You've got to do it. You know, if you don't do it, you'll never know. So you'll never get better.
Yeah. I think that emotion, being aware of your emotions, so recognizing I'm scared, and sometimes talking to yourself or talking to someone else about, right, I'm actually fearful about this, and then you can sort of rationalize it. But if you're not aware that you're scared, you're not going to be able to put in place a coping mechanism to remain calm. You're going to fight or flight, freeze, whatever, potentially. So I'm going to ask the same question, but to Charlie. Any kind of ideas in terms of how BAs, how we can, as people, develop bravery that we've not mentioned so far?
Yeah, I think, you know, within business analysis, you know, the role that we take on when done, I think it is best, is we are that generalist, right? As is our specialism, right? Or as David Beckham put, the specialist generalist, right? Which means you're going to probably be the least knowledgeable of the content in any change mm-hmm. context to a degree, especially at the front end, which is definitely unnerving by default, right? Mm-hmm. So whether you like it or if you're doing good business analysis, you're going to be uncomfortable there. So, you know, mm-hmm. as we all testify and find, it's the air that we breathe. So we're always constantly having to make a choice to do it. So actually, mm-hmm. how do we do it? How do we do it practically? And one of the things is that when I designed the workshop for building that bravery, I took it from what we did in policing. We role played scenarios continuously, mm-hmm. right? You know, where we had angry man scenarios where you have to go in a room, someone's in a big suit, and you've got to arrest them. They could be really violent or not. But it's building up a resilience, and it's building up an experience, mm-hmm. it's building up a muscle memory, and it's helping you to have the tools and the mindsets and all of those things where to say, I don't know what's going to be behind that door, but regulate my emotions, regulate my breathing. I'm prepared as I can be. I know my powers. I know my laws. I know all the things, this toolbox I've got. So when the door opens up, I've got as good a chance to handle it, whether it's someone running at me really quickly or it's someone stood there quietly and being passive. Mm-hmm. But we did it continually. And I suppose what I'm saying into our context, if you know, as a BA, if you're part of a community of practice, or you know, you need to be talking through the scenarios. You need to be kind of like and stepping into the experiences with the support of a lead BA, a senior BA who can coach and share. And that's how you accelerate that learning. It is so much by doing, right?
Yeah.
And it's doing it safely as much as you can, and then being safe to fail as well, as we do. I could go on for hours on this, I won't, but I just think that for me, the biggest step changes I found professionally within police and dealing with high conflict was through the role-playing scenarios and being comfortable in there, because you've got the psychological safety of the support structure of your trainers, etc. And I think that is easily doable in the business analysis world, particularly if you're in teams in BA, an organisation.
And then, Charlie, as a BA leader, you're setting an environment for your team by supporting them. So that's kind of part of it as well. Like you as a leader and all of us as leaders, making sure that we're helping our teams to feel safe and to practice and think about the scenarios as well.
It's one of the most important things as a lead BA or a BA manager or senior BA is understanding that you are there because you've done some laps, there's some experience you've got, but there's those before you that have not got, and it's the privilege to support them. Yeah, but you know, for those who are just stepping out of kind of doing BA work and taking a more kind of leadership responsibility in any kind of career, you find that first pass is when you work with the more junior ones, you know you can do it quicker and faster, right? And you get the temptation to be frustrated. But actually, you just say, no. It's a game's change now. It's not about doing it quicker or faster, it's enabling others to be able to do it for themselves, yeah. right? And yeah. that's the privilege of the role. And it's thinking, actually, I might not have fear, but they've got fear. What did I feel like? You know, I remember someone shared recently, you know, be the senior you wish you always had, right? Isn't that the phrase? And that's how we as seniors and leads need to kind of think through how we act out our role there for sure.
I like that. You know, be the leader, be the boss that you wish you'd had. Yeah, I like that. That sort of sets the challenge for us. Right, Kay, I was distracted into Charlie's answer then, but I think the same question to you, and it's kind of how do you develop bravery? And if I've got that question wrong, I've just been distracted by Charlie and Lisa's.
I think some of the things we've touched upon, like Charlie, you've mentioned about creating that environment as senior leaders. Part of that is having an environment where you can be vulnerable and share that you are terrified and scared and worried. Yeah. And being able to normalize that it's not just you who's absolutely terrified, being able to have that mm-hmm. conversation in that kind of safe environment, and then having that role model who can, who's done it before and who can guide mm-hmm. you through that. I think mm-hmm. being able to share the fear is so important, and mm-hmm. in certain environments, it can feel harder to do that. For example, if you were a BA in a consulting environment, it can be harder to be able to be open about those feelings because you've been paid to come in and consult and sort something out, but it doesn't mean that you don't feel the fear. So it's about having that community, whether it's in a community of practice or outside of work, where you could share those feelings, I think is super important. And I have, so the first time I spoke at the conference, absolutely terrified. Second time, terrified. Third time, still terrified. But having been able to share my experiences with new speakers, I think has really helped them to normalize the fear, the worries, and the anxieties. And I've seen some really fantastic speakers last year at the conference who's never spoken before, but just being able to share that fear together has really helped each other. Yeah. I think has helped us both. So sharing fear is one of them. And then another thing, which is... it's worked for me. I don't know whether it's the right thing, but it's that commitment aspect. So if you can persevere through your fear, then that's great. If you can like push yourself to that black slope, that's great. But sometimes you need to put in action to get there. So for example, very worried up to this conversation today, but once we booked in the meeting, I knew I was committed. So I've got it in my diary. I know it's happening. I'm going to work towards it. So it's about taking that action to commit to it and tell other people that you're committing to it. And that would help you kind of overcome that fear and be brave as well. And I think that helps you, because I think related to fear, some of the things that Lisa, you also talked about was that kind of perseverance aspect. And I think if you commit, take the action to commit to something, it will help you with your perseverance.
Yeah, some brilliant points there. And Kay, just as you were talking, I think committing to someone else that you can be held to account, that you're going to do something, you're going to go to that martial arts lesson, or you're going to run that workshop, or whatever it is that bravery is in your context, I think exceptionally valuable. But then the other thing that I just want to mention, particularly for the listeners, that if they're in an environment where there is a lack of psychological safety and they're having to be brave to show up at work because of the culture, the environment, or the stakeholders and the way that they are treating us as individuals, that it's okay to say, I know I committed to do that thing, but actually I'm not comfortable. And that's an act of bravery. To say, no, it's not acceptable. If there is difficult situations, difficult behaviors that you're not, if you've not supported, you don't have that mentor or coach, I think it's brave to say, no, actually, this isn't in alignment with my personal values. And it's going back to the point that Charlie made right at the start around, it's about your values, about what is right. And if it's genuinely not right, I think we should be brave as BAs and say, actually, I'm not doing that. And that's a different type of bravery, I think. Now I'm going to do something brave now. Oh, Charlie, go for it.
Just add on to that really important point, because if you are listening, you are alone and you're in that situation, which Jonathan says, you've got nowhere else to go. Drop one of us a message on LinkedIn, right? Because all of us will be happy for a call occasion. You know, just it's there. So that offer is there, right? There's no reason to feel on your own. You at least got one of the four of us to choose.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And Kay or Lisa are the nicer ones of the four of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably okay, but I'm only joking.
Don't spoil your train of thought. Back to where you were, Jonathan.
So I'm going to try and be brave now and do something we've not done on the BA Brew before. And I'm going to say, Kay, I believe you've got an exercise for us. And just to share to all the listeners, neither Charlie, Lisa or myself have got any idea what we're about to experience.
Okay, so this is my book to become a better human. And in here, I have an exercise on how to boost your confidence and be brave. And I have personally used this multiple times, especially leading up to like a big presentation, or if I need to lead like a big session or like speak at the conference. So this is a very quick exercise, and I've done it a few times in the toilets at work. So you don't need much space. So it's a quick 2 minute exercise, and we're going to do it in silence, but I'll talk you through it. So first of all, close your eyes and imagine a superpower pose, a Superman pose. So put your arms over your head in a V shape.
We're just imagining this, Kay. You're not actually doing it.
Imagining it. And now do it. Now put your arms over your head and do it.
All I have to do is
V shape. Yeah, V shape. Jonathan, V. No bent arms.
V? V. Yes. Like this? I like this. That. Ah, I was trying to do the V with my hand.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Arms open facing each other. Eyes closed still. Okay. Hold this pose and breathe in and out really quickly for 30 seconds. While you're doing that, soften your face and feel the impulse of the breath in your belly. Feel how that feels. Okay, and then lower your arms and then take a moment to check in on how you feel. What are your sensations? Feel how you feel compared to before you did the pose, before you started. And then you can like repeat again for like another 45 seconds. So you can do it a few times. And often the change in posture and the mindfulness in terms of checking in your breathing and your bodily sensations can just keep a check of kind of cause that anxiety and worry if you have something that's really stressing out leading to a big event. And you can do it like 5 minutes before your event. And it's good to do, it's better to do it standing up and having like a straight spine. But just give a go, see how it works for you. I've personally found it very, very useful ahead of a big session. But I can see that Charlie was just could not contain his laughter.
It reminds me, for anyone who's been through it, it reminds me of my first ever NCT session when we're expecting our first child. And if you've not had children, you're not been to Tennessee, you wouldn't know, but you sit in the room with a bunch of strangers and we get to do the breathing exercises with a bunch of strangers. Now we've just done this online with a bunch of more strangers. And I got fits and giggles in that session. So did another dad. And I could hear our partners were whacking us to stop giggling. but the serious point, though, is regulated breathing and presence is powerful, isn't it? Right? They do that exactly in the same with the police as well, because it tells you, say, hey, trick your brain, calm down. It's okay. It can't be that dangerous. So, it's I get it. Very good.
So there's science.
Yes, I love it. I love power posing, Kay. Wonder Woman, Superman. The thing which I did wrong right at the start. Yeah, they're brilliant, aren't they?
I'll check out what Superman did.
Superman was like that.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
That's a good one. I like that one.
That one's like World Universal I've Won a Race kind of pose. And there's a, if people are interested in power posing, there's a book by Amy Cuddy, Presence, and she's also got a TED Talk as well. So the TED Talk I'd thoroughly recommend, as well as having a go. Like, have a go if you've just been listening and you thought that was funny, watching us or seeing us, listening in with us, not doing it properly. Have a go. It might work for you. It might make the difference. Who knows? Right, I feel inclined to share one of my tips as well now. And then I'm going to come to you, Charlie, and Lisa, if you've got any top tips. But music. If you know that you're stressed and you know that you are going into a situation where you think that you need to be brave, put some music on. Put a tune on that uplifts you or makes you feel calm, depending on what type of thing it is. But I'm going to share that sometimes if I'm really nervous for a presentation, particularly if it's online, I'll crank up the speakers really loud. No one else can see it. But if I'm doing that and power posing, I'm really trying to get myself in the mode that I can do this. It depends what mood I'm in. But if Eye of the Tiger is a song for you, play Eye of the Tiger. So that's my little tip. But I'm going to go, Lisa, what song would you play and any other top tips? What song would you play to put yourself in that I can do this mode?
I don't know now. Maybe Pink. I quite like Pink.
Yeah.
Oh, it depends. I'm trying to calm down. No, you put me on the spot now, Jonathan. Can I say that I really like Taylor Swift? I'm not sure. I think I might have just done that.
Taylor Swift on. Swifties.
Stop Swifties. Laughing, Charlie.
Need bravery as much as anyone else.
Charlie, I'm just brave now because
we've got Swifties all over our house. Swifties are everywhere in our
house.
That's
all right then. That's all right.
Charlie, any other top tips and what song would you choose to get yourself in the mood?
Hey, the song I go to, like, it's not even a song, it's actually movie music from Top Gun Maverick, one of Dark Star. I don't even see him when he takes off and he flies at, you know, over the crazy speeds, yeah. Right? That's, you know, kind of like spit inspiring, you know, get me going, like, wow. You know, take me elsewhere. Look, as BAs, we suffer from analysis paralysis, right? Paralysis, the opposite of bravery, get that frozen, right? So, you know, and we've got to be frank in our roles, right? Haven't we? Mm-hmm. We've got to, you know, choose a level of frankness or maybe candidness is better. So how do you help that visuals? What I love is at Herd Consulting, they've got their Disco Inferno sticker they stick on merchandise on laptops or Ian Tidmarsh at Justice Digital. He's just producing a sticker, which is like your BAs be curious, you know, like, and mm-hmm. I love that idea because you just look at your work, you know, remind you who you are, right, of what your role is and go do it. You know, this is who I am, so I signed up for. Great, take the courage from that and crack on.
Go do it.
Use a visual.
Brilliant. And then Kay, are you happy to share your song and any other final top tips? Because you've shared a lot of top tips already, but what song would you choose? You're power posing.
I can't listen to music when I am, you know, anxious and worried. I need silence and like really check in on like how I'm feeling, my bodily sensations, and really acknowledge that, oh, it's okay, I'm feeling this in my stomach because I'm feeling worried. Yeah. Just logically sense checking all my feelings. I can't distract myself with music in that way.
Wow, it's interesting because I see this as a lot of other things, like a toolkit. You've got to find what works for you, haven't you? And if it's silence and checking in, then that's different to me. I'm going to share my song. I'll put Tom Petty, Won't Back Down, on really loud. Don't know why. Just like I'm not going to back down. I'm going to do it. I don't know why I go for that song, but yeah. Right, we're wrapping up almost, and we've massively overrun on time. Any final thoughts, Lisa? Anything you wanted to mention that we haven't covered?
Yeah, just one thing that does help, because you threw me off with the music question there. chewing gum. If I need to get in something, I'm a bit wound up and I need to concentrate for work or, I don't know, type a document or something, I will put a bit of music on in the background, but some chewing gum. I don't know if that plays into the breathing that you mentioned, but that I don't know. 20 minutes of chewing gum, I've just forgotten everything. I'm just focusing again. Yeah. So that does tend to help. Yeah.
Brilliant. Charlie, any final thoughts? Anything you wanted to mention before we finish?
Yeah, most likely place you're going to need to be brave in the next 24 hours or the next week is be brave to ask the stupid question that no one else is prepared to ask in the meeting room, which is the most important question to be asked. When you feel it now, go ask it, right? And post on LinkedIn that you did it, right? Just dare you, or share it with us. What stupid question do you ask this next week while you're choosing to be brave? There you go.
The question, why are we doing this project again when it's been going for 2 years and we've spent millions of pounds?
That's a great one.
That one, yeah, getting in a lot of trouble. potentially, but that needs to be asked if no one knows the answer. Might need someone to ask that. Kay, any final top tips?
So my final thought is exactly what Charlie said. I feel like bravery takes many different forms. Not all of us are busting down doors, but we all do things in our roles. For example, challenging decisions that have been made or proposing new ways of tackling something or speaking up about an issue that isn't right. I think all of these brave acts every day can be overlooked. And when you do something brave, it's important to acknowledge and congratulate yourself. Give yourself a pat on the shoulder for doing that in your role.
Yeah, and talking kindly to yourself in your own head as well. You know, recognize when you've been brave and be kind to yourself with your own words, I think, really key. Right, we're going to wrap up now. I want to thank all of you for joining. So Kay, Charlie, Lisa, thank you for being here. Thanks to everyone that's watched and listened to today's podcast. It's the final episode of this season, and it's our end of season finale. I always forget to do this, and I'm terrible at doing the endings, but if you've got any ideas with regard to future episode ideas, please send them through to babrew@assistkd.com. And if you've liked the content today, think it might be useful for another business analyst, another change professional, please do like, share, and subscribe. Thank you very much.